Please take your Bibles this morning to the book of John chapter 9, Gospel of John chapter 9, verse 1, and we're going to read to verse 9 responsively this morning, verse 1 to verse 9 as we make our way through the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is one of the simplest books of the Gospels, and it's also probably the most profound depth and insight Jesus Christ being God, the Son of God, and that there is. So John chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, responsively, let's read together. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth together, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that hath sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. This is an amazing story, an account. Now, Jesus healed a lot of blind people. This was not an odd occurrence he had healed. He's at the very end of his public ministry. But this one, this blind man being healed, has a very important and specific lesson attached to it. The text verse is in verse number 5. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now remember the light lessons we got from the other chapters? It's continuing on. I am the light of the world. And I've simply titled this message, Light at Work. The light is at work. It was at work then, that day, and it has been at work ever since, and it's still at work here today in Prince Albert. The light. And the light shines through you and through me. The light shines through the gospel. It's truth, light. Let's pray. Father, help me as I try to help others here this morning. And I pray for your help. It's not me that does this. It's the grace of God that I need, Lord. You know, last night, my cry, my heart, please help me. Lord, there is so much in this chapter. And it's easy to get muddled up in all of the things, try to say too much and miss the important things. So I pray you would help us to really communicate the important truths of this chapter, we pray in Jesus' name. That your church would be edified and built and your name glorified. It's your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. There are two things taught in this that are very important. There is a blind man made to see who can't see. He can't see, and it's a miracle, a physical miracle. But it also teaches in this account those who see and are made blind, both. There is the physical part of this chapter, and there is a paralleling spiritual part that is being taught by Jesus himself. We'll see it in a minute. But he's teaching this. Now, I want us to start off on the light. This is This is a really a very important part of it, is he keeps bringing up, I am the light of the world. Remember, in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world, and he brought it up. And we're going to just take a quick series up to where we are. So go back to John chapter 1 and verse 5. John chapter 1 and verse number 5. And he's talking about really the word here. The idea is the word is light. The word is light. And we can don't have time to spend in John 1, but it's in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It's about the Word, Christ the Word. And now in verse number 4, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness doesn't grasp the light. They don't understand it. And he's talking about spiritual light, but the light is definitely connected with God's word here. Word. Okay? The spiritual light. Now let's go to verse number 8. John chapter 1 and verse number 8. He says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was John the Baptist. Okay? John, verse number 9, and that was the true light, that's Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light. Now, in a sense, okay, the light, he's referring to the light that is received through the message of the gospel through the word. There is no way of receiving light, any man, any woman, except hearing the truth of the word. That is what he's referring to here. John was sent as a burning and a shining light, and they rejoiced for a season in that light. It means they enjoyed it. That was like, wow, that was what they did for a short while. The light. And this light is what Jesus is teaching over and over. Go to chapter 3, John chapter 3. And verse number 19, John 3, he just told about talking to Nicodemus here. He's explained to Nicodemus about God loving the world and giving his son. And here we see here in John chapter 3 and verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that is what happens. Men love what they want to love rather than loving God. And that's what divides them. The light at work. That's what I'm trying to make a point here. The light at work. And that's what Jesus just did over and over all the way through. He's talking about light. And he's given Nicodemus this light lesson. This is Nicodemus's one-on-one, that I am the light, but men love darkness rather than light, and that's why they don't receive the light. Their hearts are hardened. Light. And so he gives it. Now look at verse 20, John 3 and verse number 20. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And by the way, doeth evil doesn't mean out murdering people, doing drugs, alcohol, all of that. All it means is this, is you do what you want to do, not what God wants you to do. That's what it means. Evil means not submitting, yielding to the word of God. And it's kind of got a kind of a crusty word there, but and evil, he's saying he that does his own thing, not God's thing, is really choosing. And what happens, we're going to learn in our lesson, is God blinds you because of your lust for doing what you want. Verse number 21. He that doeth truth, this is a very important verse on this light lesson, but he that doeth truth, doesn't say believeth here, it says doeth the truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know what faith kicks in? Faith is when you make a choice in your life to do the will of God. It's doing the will of God. It's making that change in your whole life direction. I am going to do God's will. And that's what he's saying. He that doeth the truth. He that doeth truth. And it's a choice we all had to make somewhere along life's road, this journey. I am going to do the will of God. Now, I didn't realize when I did that, made that choice, the horrendous cost that it would be. I have no regrets looking back. I didn't realize what that was going to do in my relationship with my family, my relatives. I didn't realize that it was going to affect my job, what I was doing for a living. I didn't realize when I made that choice where that journey was going to take me. He that doeth truth is a decision we all must make. And when you do it, cometh to the light. And the light begins to do its work. The light begins to work in you in a way that it never has before. You'll begin to see things. And some of you may be right now kind of in a wondering. You're at a crossroads, maybe a decision, and you're thinking, what should I do here? I wonder which path I should take. I am encouraging you to choose the will of God, regardless. I'll tell you one thing. In my decision many years ago, there is not one little remorse in doing God's will in my life. And I can tell everybody else in here that would say the same thing. It has been the greatest adventure. It's just, I wish more people would get in on it. I wish my family would see it. I wish my relatives would see it. I still pray for them. Last night I prayed for them. Lord, open their eyes, help them to see and receive this. And when they believe and do the will of God, the light will shine in their heart. It's doing it, folks. It's doing it. James was teaching that in the book of James. He says, he that heareth my word, hears the word and doeth it, he's the man that will be blessed in his deed. James was just building on this truth of, you know, because it's easy to kind of slip into this rut where we kind of just, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I believe. But it's believing is a part of it, but it's believing that produces works. It's light at work. Go to John chapter 8 now and verse number 12. John 8, verse number 12. And we see this light lesson continuing on. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. We were, of course, in this a couple of weeks ago. And John 8, 12. And this is Jesus making a declaration here. Here in John 8, 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is one of the seven I ams in the Bible. The seven great I ams that in the book of John. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door, John chapter 10. I am the great shepherd, John chapter 10. Book of John chapter 8, and I think the last verses of John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. You know what he's telling them? I'm God. Now this, I am the light of the world, the significance of it, and we don't have time to go back into this, but back into the book of Isaiah. You want to write it down? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 through 8. Isaiah 49, 5 and 6 and 8. All are talking about a future light that God is going to send to the world. Light. And they were waiting that. They preached it. It was part of their celebration. Light, light, light. They had big candelabras in their festivals, Feast of Tabernacles here in John chapter 8 or 7. big candelabras at night that would light up the whole temple courtyard with these monstrous candlelights. It was all about to signify the coming light of Isaiah Isaiah particularly. And Jesus stands up and he says, I am the light of the world. I'm the light you're waiting for. I'm the light that you have been reading and waiting for. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You say, I would like to get in on that. You know where it starts? Believing. You must believe. You have to, the first thing, believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior who died, was buried, rose again. When you believe, you're connected, saved, and then follow. Follow him, and you will have light at work in your life in a way that you will never imagine. You know, when we get to the judgment in a few years, we're going to all be at the judgment as Christians. Now, you'll be at a different judgment if you're not a Christian. You'll be at the great white throne judgment. But the judgment for the believers is going to be really basically, what did you do with the light that was given to you? Did you do it? Did you follow it? Did you submit to it? Did you believe it? And that is going to have the bearing on gold, silver, precious stone at your reward day, or wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be quite a day. When your day comes, when my day comes, it will be a fearful thing. You're going to see all the days you wasted, all the time you wasted, but also you'll have the reward for the days where you did exactly what you were supposed to do in the Word of God. So light at work. Jesus is making this very important statement again in John chapter 9. He's not done with it. He'll say it again in John chapter in many different places. I want to take you quickly to one place in the book of Acts. The light program goes on. Acts chapter 13 and verse 47. Acts 13 and verse number 47. Acts 13 and verse 47. Verse 47, a big long chapter here in the book of Acts. Acts 13, verse 47. Someday we're going to get our system at the back set up so that for visitors and people coming, we're going to be able to flash those verses right up on the screen so you don't have to, when you're not used to the Bible, it's hard to find. I would like to have that so we can just flip that up there on the screen. It's doable today with not a lot of, so that some of you, that I know some of you, when I say turn, you don't know where to turn, somebody helps you. And I was like that once. When I started going to church, I did not know one book from the other in the Bible. I didn't know where to turn, where to go, what was Old Testament, what was New Testament. But, you know, that can change with some work and study. But at first, it's just good to see these verses for yourself. Acts chapter 13, verse number 47. Look at this. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Wow. Look at verse 46 here. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God shall first have been spoken to you. But seeing you have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And he's giving his commission here. He's giving his great calling on the Damascus Road. Paul is saying, for so hath the Lord commanded us, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. God was switching the program. It wasn't to the Jews anymore. They had their chance. They had been offered the light. They had rejected the light. They didn't accept the light. The light was at work in a powerful way in Jerusalem. Jesus was there and ministered to them, but they rejected it. They didn't accept it. They didn't believe on him. And they turned and did their own thing. They stuck to their own religion, their old ways. And here Paul and Barnabas are in a preaching and teaching, and the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. And Paul makes a declaration. He says, you, we came to you first, and you counted yourself unworthy of the gospel. You didn't accept it. You made a choice and a decision in your heart, and you turned from it. Therefore, we have been sent to the Gentiles as a light. I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. What is this light for? For salvation unto the ends of the earth. I want to tell you, folks, the light was at work then. The light was at work in the book of Acts. And the light is still at work today in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. I was so thrilled with this church in all of the work that you put in to that parade and all of the work that we engage in handing, going out from door to door in city, all through this city. You know what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen? We are taking the message of light, of love, and of life to our city. There's only one way to do it, the light of the gospel. Now, most of the people in this city are going to make the same fatal mistake as the people did in that day. They are going to count themselves unworthy of everlasting life. You know how you do that? I don't want it. Oh, I don't want to need Jesus. Oh, that, I'm not even, you know. Now, in our day of religious confusion with so much religion, so many religious voices, so much on the internet and everything, oh, it takes some real discipline and dedication to get the right stuff, to really tap into light that's going to benefit you. But we must do it. The light is a powerful light. The light will do a great work in us. The light is going to do a great work in this city. When we set this church, when we did the rentals in this church, one of the things, one day I'm driving, I came coming over here at night, and I'm coming across the bridge and looking across, and the steeple was, as the night was coming, it was getting harder and harder to see. It was just, the steeple was disappearing in the night shadows and the night evening. And I thought, that steeple needs a light to represent what we are going to be as a church. Light. And that's my heart desire, is that same light that worked in the Gospels, the same light that worked in the book of Acts, is the same light that is going to change our city. So we had an electrician, actually from the prison, from our prison ministry. He was in doing time for a mistake that he had made. That's what usually puts people in prison, a mistake. And I asked him, I said, would you think you could hook up this thing up here, this light? And he was actually working part-time at that time for an electrician company in Prince Albert. And he talked to his boss and they said, yep, we can do that. And they got wires running all the way up to the top and got a big light. Every time I drive across the bridge at night and I see that light, I think it reminds me of what we're here for, of what our purpose is. It's to get the light into our dark, dark city. Light at work. Let's go back to John chapter 9. We've just about burnt our time up already. Verse 1 says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, this is amazing. And Jesus passed by. Now, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of things. Let's go to Matthew 15 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30. I can see right now this is going to bleed into another Sunday because there is no way I'm going to get all of this done here today. But verse 1, Matthew 15 and verse 30, I want to show you something here. Okay. Matthew 15 and verse 30. Now, I want to remind you that when Jesus is doing the healing of this blind man, this is, Jesus is right at the very end of his public ministry. He is about to be trapped. We quickly go from where John 9, healing this blind man, into the upper room and the upper room discourse in the Gospel of John, John 13, 14, 15, 16. But here we also see an account of Matthew. I just want you to see this here, Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. That was his work. And that was what verified that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. John the Baptist even doubted. They said he was in prison. John was in prison, and he was about to lose his head, and he knew it. It was not good what was going on. And he gets so concerned about Jesus, he sends one of his disciples to go and ask him, is it really you, or should we wait for another? Now you'd think John, Mr. John the Baptist, would have had that. But he doubted in his down moments. John doubted. John the Baptist, the one who Jesus said, greater, there's no greater in all the earth. John doubted Jesus. Does that make you feel better? When you doubt and when you have days of doubt and discouragement, John did too. The disciples go to Jesus and say, are you the one, or do we wait for another? Jesus says, go back and tell John. And he says, I healed the blind, I released the prisoners, I set the captives free. He was quoting from Isaiah, exactly from Isaiah. And he goes back, he gives them that verse back to, he says, I'm doing all these things, fulfilling the book of Isaiah chapter 9. And he said, and John the Baptist sat back in his cell and said, yep, you're the one. You're the one. You know, that's how we know that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the one we can trust, the Word. We go to the Word. The Word verifies he is the Son of God. And you don't have to be smart to do it. You just have to read to do it. You have to get in the Bible, and you'll find out pretty quickly, this is an amazing book with an amazing Savior, with an amazing message, and it's for you. The message is salvation to the ends of the earth, but it's personal salvation. That means it's salvation for you. If you're not saved, you need to receive the light of Jesus Christ's message of death, burial, and resurrection. And then that light that worked in the gospel is going to be a light that's going to work in you. You're going to experience the power of his light. Let's go to Matthew 21 and verse number 14. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 14. He says here, verse number 14, Matthew 21, verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. He healed them. He was healing blind and lame people all the time. And that is exactly what he was doing here. But this one was a little unique. He was teaching about light at work, the works of light. Let's look now, verse number 3. Jesus answered in John chapter 9, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, you see the word works of God here, works of God. It's Jesus is connecting himself with God. This is a work of God, not of me. It's a works of God. And Jesus is making this, and they've just asked him a question. They said, is this man blind because of the sins of his parents? And that was a belief that they had that had some relevance to the law. The law promised if you followed and did all of these things that God would bless you and you'd be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's the only place the prosperity gospel really is back in the law. The law to one nation, Israel, was God would bless them if they did this and did that and obeyed him. Deuteronomy chapter 22, I think it is, and then Deuteronomy 26, I think it is, all the curses if you don't obey. So they're saying, is this man blind because of his sin or his parents' sin? Jesus said, neither. Neither. He said, this man is for one reason. It's so that the work of God can be made manifest. Now, there's a problem with his little work lesson here. Just like John chapter 5, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? And he's going to do a work here. What day is it? Remember John chapter 5, the impotent man by the pool of Bethesda? He takes him down to the pool. He's there. The guy's down by the pool. He says, he wants to be healed. And he says, I want to get in the pool. And they had a belief that the first person in the pool would get healed. And he says, heal me. I need to be healed. And Jesus says to him, he basically heals him. He doesn't have to get in the pool. Jesus heals him. But there was a problem with him doing that. It was on the Sabbath day. And that, these Pharisees, isn't that amazing? I mean, here's somebody miraculously healed from being crippled all his life, and they're upset and irate. You see, Jesus was grace and truth, and they were living by the letter of the law. And there's a lot that's easy to slip into that rut, the law. And Jesus is, and it says after he healed that man, that they sought to kill him. They were mad because he was doing it on the Sabbath day. Now, I want us to see here the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. It's in here somewhere, the Sabbath day. And I had it in my notes, but I just don't know where I have it. But it's here, that they did it on the Sabbath day. If somebody can find that for me. Verse number 16. Here it is. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. You know what Pharisees and Sadducees do? They're religious people, very religious people. And you know what they're always doing? They're looking for fault. They're trying to find fault. They're trying to find some little thing that they can nail you. I just got a call from somebody about going to a wedding. And should I go to that wedding or not go to that wedding? And I mean, this wedding, they're not living, you know, but they're Christian people that have taken some good steps. They've taken some good steps, but then they got their steps all mixed up, and they're off step, and they're out of step, and they're out of the will of God. But basically, they were living together. But now they want to get married, and more the girl than the guy that is following this, and she wants to get married. And this other relative is saying, I don't know if I should go to this because they've been living together. And I thought about it and thought about it and I thought about it and prayed about it and thought about it. And I don't want to counsel them wrong. And I said, you know what? I think you need to go. I think you need to go and show them that you love them, and you go and demonstrate to them that you care. It's not going to be the most wonderful, enjoyable sense, but you need to go and be there. I said, there's probably going to be others who disagree with me, but I think in your situation, you asked for my advice, I think you should go and be there. If you don't go, she is going to be very upset with you. And it's going to cut off communication with you and her. You see, what I'm saying is sometimes we can tend to slip a little bit into the Pharisee and Sadducee role. You need to go and be there for her and pray for her. And you never know, God might do a great thing. Just make sure your heart is right and the Spirit is leading you. At the end of the day, you have to have the peace of God about it. But that's just my advice. You see, what Jesus was doing here, nobody else, the Sabbath. I mean, you want to go, the big deal, the Sabbath. That's Saturday in Israel. To this day, if you go into a hotel in Israel on the Sabbath day, you're not allowed to walk up the stairs. That's work. But you can go in the elevator and push a button, because that's not work. I don't know how they come up with these rules. But that's what goes on when you get religion that basically blinds you from the truth. That's what happens. Religion will blind you from truth, from what God is trying to accomplish, the work of helping people. That's what this was. He's going to show them again on the Sabbath. They're back, and the Sabbath, and he brings out another place here. He says, how can this man be of God? How can he be of God if he works on the Sabbath day? They were making their judgment based on the law. Now, let's be fair. It was pretty important, the Sabbath. The Sabbath was in the Old Testament, and it was important. But they were missing the Spirit of God. And by the way, the Sabbath was for Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not for God, and he was God. He could do whatever he wanted on the Sabbath day. The works. And what we see in the book, Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He demonstrated to us that his work was to help people, blame the lame, the halt, the maimed, the blind. But he was teaching something here as well. This whole lesson is teaching, it's teaching amazing spiritual truths. So he comes across this blind man, and he says, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, in parentheses, which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Amazing. Physical healing, but the end of the chapter, spiritual truth. Spiritual healing to teach a spiritual blindness, a spiritual awakening, spiritual birth, but here it's physical. But it's interesting, the spiritual lessons in what he did. Now, he never probably ever did this again, but this time, remember last he wrote on the ground, now he spits on the ground. Picked up. Clay. You know what clay is? It's the most worthless dirt there is. Clay will not grow anything. You can't grow a garden in clay. If you have a farm that's clay, sell it. It'll be cheap land. It won't grow anything. Clay. Clay is used for building stuff. Clay is made for bricks, for building houses and things. Clay is made for making jars and pottery and things like that. Clay. He took clay. And I think he was demonstrating that he can make some miracle from nothing. And he used clay because there's no value in clay. Clay is basically worthless. Then he tells this man, now, he didn't have to do this, but he says, go down to the pool of Siloam. Go down there and wash. Now, what if this young man, or older man, who we don't know, what if he'd have said, this is crazy. I got a bunch of mud in my eyes, and he wants me to go down and wash? I mean, this is nonsense. I'm going to be a fool. Everybody's going to look at me and think I'm nuts. I've been blind all my life. I've never seen a light once in my life. But there was something in his voice. This was Jesus. He says to somebody, "Take me to the pool of Siloam." He goes down to that pool, down to the pool. He gets down on his knees. Where's the water? The man shows him the water. He gets down and and for the first time in his life, he saw the pool. He saw the water. He saw the sunlight. He saw the man leading him. He saw the crowd. He saw Jerusalem. Can you imagine the excitement in that man's heart? He gets up, it says, seeing. Amazing. But you know what he had to do? He had to do what Jesus said. If he wouldn't have went to that pool, it would have never happened. Every time God gives us a step in our Christian life, from salvation onward, it's always, always, always based on steps of obedience. That's growing in the Christian life. And he came back with the greatest blessing he'd ever had in his whole life. He could see. He could see. Wow. I mean, he's one excited guy. He goes back. And you know, whenever we do what God wants us to do, the way God wants us to do it, we submit and yield, we will too experience miracles. Amazing miracles in our life. If you, though, say, "I'm not going to that pool. I'm not going to go down and make a fool of myself. I am not going to do this." Some of you made that decision on the parade. I know it. Some of you, this was a real strange, different thing. You've never done this before. And I know it was going on, yay, 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 get on this parade in the middle of town and hound out the gospel with, you know, this is going to be like, I've never done this before. But you did it. And you came back rejoicing. It was joy and rejoicing. There was some amazing things happen whenever we respond to the light that is at work. Light is at work. It was then, it is now. The principle is exactly the same. Maybe God is trying to reveal light to you today. Maybe it's the light of salvation. Maybe it's the light of another step in the will of God. Maybe it's light about surrender, yielding, light, and he's working on you, showing you, revealing you. Little things. My advice to you is, if he's telling you to go to the pool of Siloam, go and wash, and you'll come back rejoicing. Let's pray.